Hello, welcome to The Roadmap.
Hi, Sven. Thank you. Nice to be here.
How's it going? How's Iceland doing?
Iceland's doing pretty good. We are experiencing some classic Icelandic spring weather, which includes freezing rain and hail and snow. But it's still a breath of fresh air. The sunlight is returning, so we're doing great and we're getting really excited for May.
Yeah, spring is slowly starting.
Yes, it always comes with a little tease. It feels like spring, and then we get a little return to winter, and then a little more spring. So it's a gradual process, but it's getting warmer, it's getting brighter, and spirits are high.
It's getting warmer. Spring is almost here. When I was doing my prep for the podcast, I think I maybe spent about 30 minutes on Wikipedia just studying what Iceland is like. One of the interesting things that I found was you have a little bit less than 400,000 people, and you know the size of the country is a little bit over 100,000 square kilometers. Croatia, on the other hand, is about 55,000 square kilometers, but has almost 4 million people. So you know it's the differences are quite interesting. But what struck me most was you know a small country such as Iceland in population, but the Iceland startup scene is on fire. A lot of things are happening. One of the most interesting thing is you are organizing the Iceland Innovation Week, which is going to be in a month and a half in May. So what's that all about?
Yeah, so Iceland Innovation Week is an annual festival. It's been happening since May in 2020, when our two co-founders, Melkorka and Etta, who are also from the startup ecosystem here, realized that Iceland was missing a festival that would not only showcase the amazing startups that we have here, but create a landing pad and a platform for people from abroad, be it students or other startups, investors, policymakers, activists, a landing pad and a meeting point for everyone to come together and really showcase what the Icelandic startup and innovation scene has going on. So they founded Iceland Innovation Week in 2020, which of course, as you can imagine, is just the worst time to try and start a festival in the middle of COVID on an island in the middle of the North Atlantic. So big congratulations to them that they were able to successfully make this festival happen and continue to grow it year after year. So now we are heading into year five. There was two festivals in the first year. So this is the fifth version of Iceland Innovation Week, which will be in May from the 13th to the 17th. And this festival runs on a sort of decentralized style setup. So all over Reykjavik, starting on the Monday, we have really exciting and fun different types of events happening. We're going to be doing things outside and inside, going on a 5K, taking an ocean dip. We're going to be taking facility tours from some of our partners. There's going to be karaoke and happy hours and experimental food tasting. So all of these are just like little bits and pieces of what is happening in Iceland and what the startups and also mid-size and even corporates are doing here in the innovative sector. And so maybe who am I? My name's Katie Hitchcock. I'm the program director this year. And we are a tight team, currently six right now, who are running the festival. So we are really excited and think just planning to have the best program ever this year and hopefully just showcase Iceland even more on an international scale.
Yeah, it's quite a big event. I think I remember when we had the pre-recording meeting, you mentioned that you have 2,000-3,000 people attending.
Yeah, so For the whole week, like I said, because we have basically side venues that run all over Reykjavik, and those are open to everyone. We figured based off of the different numbers of people who would come to the different events that all in all, we had about 3,000 attendees. But then for the actual program, which is curated by us, the team, this is taking place on Wednesday and Thursday, the 15th and 16th. We sell a festival pass for this, and that last year we sold just over 1,000 tickets, which we are really excited about. That's a really great number. And what it is that we do is we host a takeover day. So this year we are going to be taking over an old fish factory in downtown Reykjavik. It's a big warehouse space that we're going to completely clear out and absolutely transform into our own innovation hub. We will have two stages with a curated stage program. Definitely check out our website to see the speakers that we've announced and more to come. So full day of really exciting fireside chats and panels and keynote speakers. And then we will also have booths showcasing, you know, what the different startups are doing. And we have AI-powered matchmaking tools. So we encourage everyone who gets their ticket, they can sign up for this matchmaking. And it really will help you based off of your interest and what sector you're in and what your role is an organization, help you find other people that, you know, maybe you are looking for a co-founder and you have this idea and you want to see if somebody's willing to go in on a venture together. Or, you know, maybe you're looking for new employees and you have this very specific niche sort of person that you need to find. Or maybe you're looking for funding, or you're an investor looking for a new venture to take on. So we have that, and that is all happening in our main takeover space. Then we do something really special at Iceland Innovation Week because we are really passionate and focused on climate change and climate activism and action. Yeah, we have a very special climate-focused program on the Thursday, and it's called OK Bye. And OK Bye is actually referencing oak, which is a glacier in the Icelandic highlands, which unfortunately melted to such a degree that it's no longer considered a glacier. So this is just the first of many examples of how climate change is impacting us all. And so the program is called OK Bye. And we are this year focusing on the issue of waste and how waste is impacting climate change, and what are the areas that we can do to improve it. So circular economy and upcycling and net zero and, you know, carbon zero. Last year, we dove deep underwater and we focused on the oceans and how climate change is affecting the oceans and different areas that we can be innovating there to create solutions and have positive climate impact. So this year we're really excited to dive into a trashy experience, and we do it a little different. So not only are we bringing, you know, just leaders in the industry of zero waste and circular economy, but we're also going to have musicians and artists and all sorts of beautiful set designed and soundscapes weaving in. So we don't call it a conference. We actually call it a climate theater. And this is a really special performance to behold. And it's just, it's educational and it's inspiring. We want everyone to know that, yes, you know, the situation is extreme, but here's what we can do about it. Let us put our energy into these climate solutions and really highlight the best of what's happening in the world. So that's a big part of our program as well. You know, we have tech, fintech, software companies, health tech, blue tech, ocean tech, and then of course this emphasis on the climate.
What are the speakers that you have at your conference? They come from different areas, or I mean, do you try to focus on something specific? Probably not, but who are the guest speakers?
Sure. So yeah, we curate, like I said, quite a few different panels and fireside chats and invite speakers to come on a broad range of topics. So we focus on tech. Be it software, you know, financial tech, blue tech. We also have gaming. There's a huge gaming culture here in Iceland, so online gaming and esports. We're going to be having speakers talk about AI. So we have someone coming from Microsoft who was one of the developers of ChatGPT. They're going to talk about generative AI. We're also looking at AI in gaming now, and you know, with multiplayer games and these sort of immersive augmented reality experiences, how is AI taking a role there in gaming development? But we actually are also having a focus this year on diversity, so and mental health. So we have some female founders coming in with some really exciting sex tech. Look at diversity and inclusion, speakers from Norway and the United States. Let's see what else. We also have a topic to speak about funding. So, of course, we really are focusing on green investments and, you know, climate adaptation. How can we, you know, encourage, have VC founders come and speak on that, and you know, where is the market going when it comes to talking about green investments and actually finding climate solutions and investing in them. What else? Who else do we have? It's constantly changing by the day. Of course, we're having policymakers, so we will have the Minister of Higher Education and Innovation here from Iceland, and also we have the Minister of Education and Innovation from Estonia, so along with others. So you know, we want to have policymakers talking about, okay, what can we do, especially in terms of waste, since that's our climate focus this year. What are the policies that, you know, Europe and others can take? How can the public sector, you know, really drive and push and resourcefulness and reducing waste streams or capitalizing on waste streams? That's one of our focuses as well. So it's really broad, tech and AI, diversity, gaming, waste, and investments, is all over the map.
Yeah, so it's quite an event, you know, from what you said. And you're covering quite, you know, a wide array of startup companies, quite a spectrum, I can say. So today we're going to focus a little bit more on the software scene on Iceland, software startup companies. And I'm sure you have a lot of people who are attending your event. I'm not going to call it conference, you know, as you said.
Festival,
that's right. It deserves a better name as it is something like that. What's the Iceland startup scene like? What's currently happening right now? I know when I was doing my prep, the startup scene actually started to get traction after the, you know, financial crisis of 2008, when, you know, everything started recovering, and that's when, you know, things started to get fired up.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, also just going, like, taking even one step back, there is a lot about Iceland itself and living here that makes it really conducive for a strong startup scene. So as we were kind of touching on earlier, Iceland has a really harsh climate. We're in the Gulf Stream and we experience a lot of heavy storms all year round. So there is this sense of resourcefulness and happiness. So the people of Iceland and people who live here, they have to have a sort of tough resolution to be able to kind of withstand sort of negative difficulties, whether, from the weather and long winters and all of that. So I think this really already fosters an innovative spirit and creates this need to be resourceful. And so that, and as you mentioned, with the financial crisis in 2008, this also in many ways put Iceland on the map and kind of brought attention. So it is located basically in this midpoint between continental Europe and North America. So this sort of situation physically in the world and also being such a small population forces startup founders to think global from day one. If you set your sights on just, capturing the small Icelandic market, it maybe isn't going to be the best plan for a super long sustainable future. So there is a strong global mindset, which I think is really paired by the geography and location on the island, but also like culture and lifestyles. So I think we have a really rich startup community because there is a good quality of life here, there's work-life balance. You're close to nature. You can get inspiration from nature and just being outside and seeing the mountains and the ocean. I think this really helps people because, as we know, being a startup founder and entrepreneur is quite a stressful and demanding thing. And, also it's paired by this culture. People in Iceland are extremely creative. If you ask pretty much anyone, they have some creative hobby. People are always knitting. A lot of people make music, like even our two co-founders, they have both either been in a band or are currently making music in a band. So it's very common to see people who have a creative hobby. And I think this really creates a resilience of mental health and that allows you to kind of not only think outside of the box when it comes to, starting a new business, but also just to like keep yourself energized because really what it's going to take is resilience to, in the first couple of years of starting a startup, that's when you're really going to feel the pressure on yourself. So all of these factors about the way that living in life in Iceland is, both the hard and the good, I think is part of the foundation for why we have such a strong startup scene. But like you said, talking about software companies, there's definitely like a lot of exciting things happening there. Like we have a female-founded software company called Avo, which is a data management and de-error, like searching, debugging your data software so that you, as whatever sector you're working in, you don't have to worry about dealing with faulty errors. They do it for you, so they deliver that software. We also have really cool companies that are working in the health tech and pharma sector, like Controlant, so they deliver software to either pharmaceutical companies or to food and beverages, and they do supply chain tracking, which I think is extremely relevant in Iceland as well, because of course we have a lot of international commerce here. We import, export a lot. We also have a really cool startup, which has been kind of getting more and more popular globally in the last couple of years called Treble. So this software company actually does acoustic simulations and will you can provide a floor plan or room layout, and they, through their software, are able to basically create for you the best acoustic setup for how you want your sound or where you should place people in the room, and so that the acoustics of the space are, you know, the best that they can be. Because a lot of times when you're in an office space or any other type of place with a lot of people, the way the sound travels can really make it a nice place to be or a terrible place to be. So there's a lot of just like really interesting, areas that Icelandic software startups are jumping into.
Yeah, and a lot of them, I can presume, you know, come to your festival, as we said, and try to, might say, find their way, because they have many problems, you know, when they're trying to start a company. Funding, how to organize everything, you know, marketing and everything else. So from, you know, what the people you've met when you were organizing the festival, what are the common challenges that they face, you know, the software startup companies?
Yeah, I think when you're starting from the pre-seed and the kind of idea stage, it really is a question about patience and having the energy to continually keep this idea alive and allow it to, become a tangible thing. So for those early stage startups, you realize from talking to these people that it has to be sustainable from the beginning. Because if you are overexerting your energy and trying to keep something alive and make it viable, and you burn yourself out, then there goes all the time and effort invested. So there is definitely an awareness about being sustainable, both on a personal and human level, but also in an environmental way, right? Like being mindful of resources financially, but also physically. These are really key factors to making sure that you make it past the idea stage and into the actual, okay, launch, going live and getting customer stage. And then that is where you really need to find the support, right? So having a network and building a community, either with other small startups together, but also, you know, with finding investors and getting investments and getting the knowledge and resources, that are available to you. Like in Iceland, there are some incentives for startups from the government. There is a tax-free discount for R&D expenses, which we know for startups is like a huge portion of the expenses. So that is available. So, you know, knowing that that's out there for you, knowing how to apply for it and making sure that you're doing it correctly, that comes from having a network of, you know, other people who have gone through it before and can share that with you. And then, you know, having a community, not feeling like you are just the only small fish in a big pond, but that you have others with you, strength in numbers really helps for the resilience and, you know, keeping a positive attitude and good mental health as a founder. These are all really important things. And then, of course, you know, it is knowing the people in the industry who can help you and maybe introduce you to investors and, you know, get your foot in the door. This is always better when you have a personal introduction and, you know, someone who's able to vouch for you. So especially in Iceland, but I still feel like it's really relevant everywhere today, that when you meet face to face, when you have an actual personal physical connection, you feel already so much more, like you understand so much more about people, and you know, you feel their passion and their energy and their drive, and that can be carried forward into making the introduction and whatnot. So again, this is like a really special and important part about Iceland Innovation Week. You know, we are a gathering place physically, you know, bringing people from all over the world to Iceland and getting them in the same room together.
Yeah, one of the things that caught my attention, you mentioned funding as one of the challenges. I would, you know, one would think that as Iceland is such a small country, that there's not enough funding, but you have to look, let's say, outwards, you know, over the country borders. So you mentioned also before we started recording that a lot of companies managed to somehow find the funding for their projects outside Iceland.
Yeah, so it was really exciting to find out that in 2022, this was a record-breaking year for funding in Iceland, with nearly $400 million being invested into the startup ecosystem. And a majority of those were coming from foreign VC funds. So even in Iceland Innovation Week now, we are catering to that and offering a special Day Zero Investor Day, which is invite only for investors, bringing in VCs from abroad and giving them a special connection and tour and showcasing the startup ecosystem and connecting them to local VCs to really strengthen the financial support. Because, of course, Iceland, there is funding from private and public Icelandic areas, but it's even better supported internationally. And it also just goes to show this global mindset that we have here. We're really excited still to see what the numbers are for 2023. They haven't come out yet, but that's something that we will definitely be sharing at the festival. We're going to have also VCs as speakers and different funds hosting events on the calendar. So for a lot of the startup companies, the big attraction of coming is to, you know, take these workshops, meet these investors, and really hopefully secure your chance to get some kind of seed and grow.
Yeah, that certainly sounds encouraging, you know, from what you said, $400 million coming from abroad. So there is, you know, you have definitely have a bigger chance if you can, you know, secure more funding than to help you bootstrap your software project. You also mentioned networking, that it's really important to meet people, because social capital is one of the most important things to have when you're starting a company.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also, you know, the festival is a fantastic place for this, but also it needs to take place all year round. And so there are special clusters for that. So we have KLAK, which is the Icelandic Startup Cluster, and they are based in Gróska, the Innovation House in downtown Reykjavik. And, you know, they are a fantastic resource for startups, where they can have the service and expertise to help, you know, them find their way to get grant applications and apply for government funding, but also to go through accelerator programs and workshops, and hopefully, you know, get them into applications for seed rounds and really make the jump to grow their business and remain viable. And then there's also, because Iceland has such a big emphasis on fishing industry, there's a lot of innovation around fishing. So there's the Icelandic Ocean Cluster, and they focus on startups, but also innovation among corporates around fishing. And we know now today the importance of this precious resource coming from our oceans, and that we need to respect and utilize the fish and the ecosystems under and above the water much more. So actually one of Iceland's first unicorn startup, Kerecis, is using fish products for healthcare for human burn victims and others. They use fish protein and fish product as skin graft plants, implants for people, among other things. And it's just really fantastic to see the transition from, you know, traditional fishing, which has sustained Iceland for hundreds of years, and now starting to innovate and really look and see, okay, how can we be much more efficient and sustainable when it comes to our fishing, and actually become find a new market out of that, and, you know, become a unicorn company through innovation in fishing. And, you know, so this also is just comes from being in a network, being in the same building together, sharing space and ideas. And that's what we really aim to do. You know, by hosting a festival, we really want to bring in the best minds and the creative thinkers, and like have a space where everyone is getting inspired and they're learning something new and they feel energized and activated to like, yes, I can do this. I'm going to go out there and get it. And maybe hopefully have some people then in their context, in their tool belt, who can help them along the way.
Are you hoping that you're going to find maybe this year or maybe next year a unicorn company that, you know, that's just starting, and in a couple of years it might become something big?
Absolutely, 100%. And like, this could be happening as we speak. So definitely keep your eyes peeled and ears open for, who's coming out of Iceland Innovation Week this year.
From what you said, I presume that you've met a lot of startup founders that have successful companies. What would be some of the common traits, you know, that you've noticed that they have? You know, why are those companies successful?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I mean, as you said, I meet a lot of them, always kind of in the context of a festival. So I would say the thing that I find a common trait amongst all of them is this sort of ability to be engaging and speak and be comfortable and personable. Of course, there's so much more to it than that. And they all are very well, have a super strong knowledge base and background in their sector. And I think that, of course, having this core block of experience and expertise is super important. But if you can't talk about it, if you can't communicate it to someone else, then it's going to be extremely difficult to build this idea as a company. So I feel like one extremely common trait that I experience from successful founders is their ability to talk and make you excited about what they're talking about and engaged and interested. I think that this is a really important trait personally, to have sort of people skills to convey your passion and your mission.
One of the things that we on the roadmap discuss often is finding your niche. Is that something that you see that startup founders have a problem with? You know, that they have a great idea, but it's actually, you know, there's no market for it, or they have difficulties, you know, finding their place.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely one of the trickier aspects, right? You know, I would definitely agree that it's really important to find your place and to carve out what makes your product or your service or your idea unique, and who is it aimed for. And, you know, I think that also just kind of has to do with being active in a community and having sort of a multifaceted lifestyle, so that you're not tunnel visioned and sort of with blinders on for this one specific sort of niche idea or market. But I think by sort of being open and curious and involved in different activities and like parts of different communities, then you come to find, okay, so there is maybe an overlapping need. Something that's happening in the dodgeball family community is something that's also needed in the software market. You can start to hear like, this is where my idea fits in. So it's, of course, I think something that everyone struggles with. I think that just being sort of diverse in your interest and experiences yourself is a major asset in sort of uncovering where you and your idea and your product fits in.
And it's always a continuous process, because you mentioned, you mustn't be tunnel visioned. You always have to watch out, where can you develop more? Where can you get better? How can your product be better? And how can, ultimately your company be more successful?
Yeah. And let's be honest about that. A big part of it is marketing. And so being just aware of like, what is successful marketing? What are people talking about? What do people like? What do they laugh about? What gets their attention? That is going to be a huge piece of the puzzle.
Yes, because a lot of that's mentioned quite often. A lot of startup founders, think, okay, I've developed my product and that's it. It's going to sell it by itself. But that's not the reality. You really have to work on your marketing strategy and sales strategy to have a really successful product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So never underestimate the power of the branding and having, a nice website and having a good marketing plan, because it could make or break your business.
Couldn't agree more. Katie, what would be your closing thoughts regarding everything that we talked about today?
Yeah, to put it all together, I would just say how unique and interesting the Icelandic startup ecosystem is. We are kind of one of kind in the world, growing and global space that is innovating in a lot of different sectors, financial tech and blue tech and gaming and investing. So I am super proud and excited to see how this will all come together for Iceland Innovation Week 2024. It's going to be a super exciting program happening all over Reykjavik with many different fun, tasty, quirky events. And we're just really excited to bring the international community to meet the local community and really create an amazing landing pad and networking hub for people to get together, get inspired, and hopefully leave with a renewed energy and excitement to, start something new or take their ideas further. It's going to be a real special year this year.
Yeah, from what you said, it certainly sounds that, everything's on fire. Everything's going up. And the scene is, from such a small country, the startup scene is actually quite big. And in probably in the coming years, it's going to be bigger and bigger, More people are going to come. More people are going to be involved. Katie, yeah. Thank you very much for being the guest on the Roadmap, and I hope I'll talk to you on another episode.
Thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.